There's still no deal, and the deadline for extending pandemic unemployment benefits is coming quickly.
It's pretty much impossible at this point that they'll be able to pass anything by Friday.
As politicians debate whether the extra $600 a week helps or hurts, we'll dive into what the latest research actually says. Plus, we know the economy is suffering. One of the most important indicators released today will show us exactly how badly. And a trip beyond Earth's orbit. How does life on Mars sound to you?
If they find anything that's in the least bit promising, they're going to essentially box it up, gift wrap it, and send it back to Earth.
It's Thursday, July the 30th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. An agreement is now in place to scale back federal officers at protests in Portland, Oregon. The deal between the Trump administration and Oregon comes after more than 2 months of, at times, violent protests. The Wall Street Journal's Miriam Gottfried tells us what we know so far.
It's kind of unknown exactly what the negotiations were that went into that decision, but it comes after officials have asked for it for a number of weeks. Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf said officers from his department would remain in Portland until they are assured that the courthouse and other federal facilities will no longer be attacked nightly and set afire.
The Pentagon now confirms plans are underway to move nearly 12,000 American troops from Germany. We broke this story early last month. It comes amid ongoing tension between Washington and Berlin. Some troops will move elsewhere in Europe. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper says the overall goal is to strengthen NATO. Critics, including some high-profile Republicans, have said the withdrawal could strengthen Russia. A story you may be interested in if you've gotten an antibody test and wonder if your plasma could save someone's life. We are reporting exclusively the FDA is close to making a decision on using plasma from recovered COVID-19 patients as a treatment. The okay could come as soon as next week. The FDA didn't immediately respond for comment. Today, the NBA restarts its season. Basketball was put on hiatus in March because of the coronavirus. Games will take place in Florida inside the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex. That's on Disney property. The league has basically turned it into a bubble with regular testing, limited press, and no fans. Playoffs will start middle of next month. Just ahead, we see the economic impact of the pandemic every day, and today we'll get crucial metrics on just how badly the economy is faring. That's coming up. Second quarter GDP data is out this morning. It'll give us a clearer picture of the brutal period that saw the tightest lockdowns and some reopenings. Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff tells us what to look for.
Economists are expecting that we're going to see a drop in Q2 GDP of about 34%, which would be the steepest decline since World War II. But economists don't expect that we're going to see that sharp of a contraction going forward. And so investors are sitting there trying to figure out, you know, given that Q2 is expected to be really bad, what is Q3, what is the rest of the year going to look like? Because a lot of investors had been pricing in a V-shaped recovery or a faster economic recovery. And so they're trying to track coronavirus cases, which have led to a closure in some states of businesses and restaurants, and are trying to see, is the recent leveling off of infections that we're seeing going to lend to economic activity restabilizing in the second half of the year, or will we see GDP continue to be negative and see a prolonged recession?
Many major companies report earnings today, including Apple, Facebook, Amazon, and Google parent Alphabet. We talked yesterday on the podcast about the CEOs of those companies testifying before a congressional antitrust hearing on tech. China's Huawei is now the world's largest smartphone maker, topping Samsung for the first time. New data from research firm Canalys showed Huawei shipped 55.8 million devices in the second quarter. This is the first time in nearly a decade that a company other than Samsung or Apple has come out on top. Just ahead, the debate over the extra $600 in jobless benefits. Are they encouraging people to stay home instead of work? We'll take a look at the facts when we come back. Despite a fast approaching deadline, there's still no deal for a short-term coronavirus relief bill. The extra $600 a week in jobless benefits expires tomorrow. Here's our congressional correspondent, Andy Durin.
It's pretty much impossible at this point that they'll be able to pass anything by Friday. And so we're going to go over that cliff, and it kind of remains to be seen what will happen after that in terms of whether folks will feel like they can come to the table in a little bit more of a substantive way after that deadline.
Some Republicans want to cut that extra $600 down to $200 a week. Their argument is the extra money prevents people from working because they make more on unemployment than in their previous jobs. Democrats say it's a bad move to cut benefits while the economy is struggling and people are worried about getting sick if they go back to work. So those are the key political arguments. Our reporter Kate Davidson has been looking into what economic research actually says about this. Kate, is there general consensus on the question of whether the extra $600 deters people from working?
Well, there seems to be one emerging. So in the past month or so, there have been a number of studies and economists who looked at whether these extra $600 a week benefit payments are discouraging people from coming back to work. And the consensus seems to be that there's no evidence that that's happening. In other words, you know, these economists looked at whether people with more generous benefits were coming back to work more slowly, or when the benefits kicked in, if they were leaving their jobs more quickly. And that's not happening. And all of them are careful to say, look, we know that there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there. Everyone knows somebody who's getting these benefits and they don't want to go back to work yet. But there's not a widespread evidence that this is happening on a large scale right now.
As we look at the pandemic, there is still so much unknown. For that reason, is it fair to say that this principle may not hold up long term?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. You know, again, this is just looking at the evidence so far, whether people have gone back to work. And I think that the economists would suggest, look, there are a lot of other factors at play. In normal times, sure, there's a lot of evidence that has shown that these more generous unemployment benefits can sometimes discourage people from going back to work. But right now, look, we have a lot of businesses that are still shut down. We have this global pandemic that's caused these shutdowns, but also people have, you know, health concerns. People who are immunocompromised might be nervous about going back to work. People might have kids at home and they don't have childcare. So there are many factors at play, and those factors and this reduced labor demand, in other words, there just aren't a lot of jobs available right now. That's probably a bigger factor right now is the conclusion that these economists are drawing.
Sure. And you kind of touched on this. There are some different views to all of this. This is a question that has been looked at before.
That's right. I mean, it's not uncommon during a recession, and we've seen it in previous recessions, that Congress will pass more generous jobless benefits when the unemployment rate is very high. So they'll extend the length of time that you can get benefits, or they'll make them bigger, as we're seeing right now. And there were studies after the last recession that showed when those benefits ended, job finding went up. People started going back to work because their benefits ended. And there's some different views about, there's studies that show the opposite. So the views are a little bit mixed, but I think the point is that it's possible, yes, as this goes on, as the economy recovers, this will become a bigger factor. And so there are economists saying, hey, look, it makes sense to shrink these payments. The question that Congress is debating is how much should we shrink them? And whether it's really affecting people's decisions to go back to work, that's an important question. So that's why the studies are useful right now.
So, Kate, there are certainly economic studies, but there are some conversations, albeit anecdotal, among employers that there are some challenges in getting people to return. How do you balance all of this?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And even the economists I talked to, they acknowledge this. We have a lot of anecdotal evidence. There's stories all the time. We've had them in our own paper about employers saying that this is an issue. So the economists are careful to say, look, we're not saying that this is not an issue in individual cases, you know, for any person. It certainly may be. But the fact is, they're also finding that a lot of people who are earning more from benefits are going back to work. And so there's no clear relationship as of right now that this is having, you know, an impact on people coming back to work. In other words, they're coming back at the same rate as other people. That's one of the things the Yale study found. So I think that that's an important point.
Kate Davidson, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, the pandemic has forced us to pretty much stay at home this summer. But that's not stopping NASA from taking a trip. A very long trip. This morning, it's scheduled to launch its most ambitious robotic rover to Mars. It may get a little more crowded than usual. China and the UAE recently launched missions to the Red Planet. Wall Street Journal science writer Robert Lee Hotz tells us what NASA's $2.7 billion mission aims to accomplish.
Well, this is a mission totally focused on the search for life elsewhere in our solar system. Now, NASA has been building to this for decades. They've been sending things to Mars to check out its mineral composition, its topography, the existence of water, either now or in the dim, dim past. And what's particularly unusual and exciting, really, is that on this mission, if they find anything that's in the least bit promising, they're going to essentially box it up, gift wrap it, and send it back to Earth, where it can be really subjected to the kind of exhaustive scientific analysis that would be required to really prove that this is a separate existence.
For much more on the mission to Mars, check out the Journal's Tech News Briefing podcast. And that's what's news for Thursday. We'll be back tonight with an update. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.